This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
And good morning. Welcome to another Thursday edition of the Blitz live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7, WKGN AM 1340. Chance, Charlie, and GP3 with you for the next couple of hours. It's a hot one. It's a hot one outside. Hot one in the studios today. Generally, it's a little chilly in here. Charlie's wrapped up.
Live stream, be warned. Like, my shirt's coming off.
They don't want to see
if
that.
If the heat persists, don't want to see that. I'm sorry.
We don't need that.
I don't want to. I want to be comfortable. It's important.
Is it?
Yeah.
You seem pretty comfortable.
Did you say I'm usually wrapped up?
I mean, you turn the vent off because you're cold.
Oh yeah. I mean, I just in the morning don't want the cold air. But I mean, even the winter, I wear shorts, flip flops, and a t-shirt to this studio. I don't think I'm ever really wrapped up.
That's psychopath move. Winter guy who wears shorts, flip flops, and t-shirts all winter. Charlie, when I came in today with with something to drink because I was thirsty when I left the house. So I grabbed a cup, put some ice in it. The drink that I got was in the pantry, so I needed it to be cold. Charlie goes, "That's a psychopath move
to just bring a glass from home with
it's
just like
a glass was a cup."
And yeah, well, okay, a cup from home. It's just like an open normal cup, no lid, no top, nothing. That you're just drinking house liquids out of.
Sorry that it wasn't a Yeti. My bad.
Well, I mean,
if it would have been like a Yeti or something with a lid, then it's not a psychopath move. Right. Psychopath guy is a guy who wears shorts and flip-flops all year round.
Well,
prove
no,
me wrong.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, those
that's
are the psychopaths.
That's the move of an optimist.
No, those are the psychopaths.
An optimist.
I wear shorts and flip-flops all year.
Shorts and flip-flops all year, because guess what?
You're not Jimmy Buffett.
No. Guess what? Guess what, Chance? Up here in my brain, in my mind, it's always sunny in 75, baby. You gotta make every day your paradise.
Exactly. Psychopath move. GP3, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Went
to the driving range this morning.
Are either of our two moves psychopath moves?
I wear shorts during the winter, but I wear like sweatshirts and
yeah, I mean, like, I'll throw a hoodie on, but it'll still be with shorts and
but
flip-flops.
If it gets like below like 30 degrees, then I'm throwing on sweatpants, jeans, something like that. Like, there's no sense in being unnecessarily cold.
He does exist. I'm a man.
It because once I'm inside, my legs get hot when I'm wearing sweatpants, so I'd rather just wear shorts and get a little chilly from the walk to my car to wherever I'm going, and then be really comfortable once I'm inside.
It's a hipster slash psychopath move. Hipsters do that stuff.
No, they don't. They just like talk about their mustaches
hipsters
take unicycle
flip-flops
classes
all year round. Hipsters do. They wear flip flops all year round.
I don't think so. They wear their like weird their Birkenstocks and their high water waisted whatever jeans and their
beanies,
their unicycles.
You wear beanies when it's like 95 degrees outside.
Yeah, I think you're even like you're reverse hipster right now is what you're describing. They're always
flip flops.
They wear flip flops.
They are dressed for a blizzard in the summer.
No, they wear flip-flops all the time, too. Jeans and flip-flops. Jeans and flip-flop guys, so weird. What are you doing? What are you doing, jeans and flip-flops?
I just wear flip-flops here. I don't wear them, like, everywhere.
I hope not. You ain't wearing them to work and stuff.
That'd be a wild move.
They'd think you were kind of weird.
Well, good thing I don't do that, and I don't bring around just... What about just, like, the cup from home that's just, like... Is that not a weird move?
I gotta agree with Charlie. It is kind of a weird move. Like,
Why is it if I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty? I don't.
But like
get it.
Riding in the car with just an open container like that.
I'm a grown man. I don't spill things.
Yeah, but you're taking the risk. That's the.
I got cup holders.
One pothole and you're screwed.
They're called a cup holder.
Yeah, one pothole. One.
You don't fill it all the way to the top.
One. You take your eyes off the road for 1 second, and then you have to slam on your brake.
I don't take my eyes off the road, GP.
Okay, yeah, somebody hits you. I mean, have you seen the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where he's eating cereal in the car?
I have. No, that's one of my favorite episodes.
that's crazy to try to eat cereal.
Well, yeah. I don't think anyone would say anything other than it being crazy. But
I don't know. I see people do it all the time.
You see people – now, this is a different conversation. You see people
– with cups, yeah.
Eating cereal in their car all the time.
Cereal with cups.
Oh, okay. That's what it sounded like.
With cups. It's no different than – I guess just because I didn't have a Yeti or something, so it's not cool.
I mean, like, I'm not a Yeti guy either.
You're a Nalgene guy.
I have –
cool guy.
I have this whatever
Nalgene bottle.
I just went and bought like a water bottle for like $8 at Target that was as big as possible because I try to drink a lot of water.
I'm the same way. I got me a 50-ounce water bottle.
But I'm not a name brand guy. I was just like
Nalgene is very name brand.
I just bought whatever was the most like
I have a Camel
cost bag. Efficient at Target.
Also, another hipster move.
But I got this from Target, so
yeah. So did I. Chance.
Those are very much name brands. Nalgene and Camelback.
I don't think so. Actually, I know
Camelback.
I know Camelback is.
Nalgene bottles are very.
I've never once heard of a Nalgene bottle in my life, and I honestly didn't even know that's what mine was until you just said that.
Because I saw the logo. They're very common.
I don't think so.
I mean, they are.
Okay. Well,
do you know why? It's because of what they're made out of. The plastics.
Are they made out of the stuff that's bad for the environment?
No. That's why people get them.
they get them because they're bad for the environment?
Oh, my God. No. People get them because they are made out of the plastic. That
Teflon.
Is not bad.
They're made out of Teflon.
Definitely not made out of Teflon. Do you know what Teflon is?
Yeah, it's the stuff that poisons the water. That's why all like 99%
of
the population.
BPA free.
Oh, cool.
Dishwasher
get safe. Those BPAs out of here. I don't know. I think a little BPA is good for anyone.
Nobody ever said that.
I think, like, no, just like a little bit of BPA just to put you some hair in your chest. You know, nah. It's like fluoride. You know, fluoride's good for you in the water.
It's actually not.
Yeah, it is.
It's proven over time that it's not.
Yeah, but you just need like a little, put some hair in your chest, you know, toughen you up. Like just drinking out of like the hose on the side of the building every once in a while, you know.
You haven't drank from a hose in a long time. It does not act like you have.
The last time I drank from...
Where do you have a hose at?
The last time I drank from a hose on the side of a building, I'll be honest, it was April in Starkville, Mississippi. And it was...
trash.
No, it was at like 9 in the morning the Sunday I was leaving, and we were having to wait outside the restaurant for our table, and we all wanted some water.
So you drank water from a restaurant hose?
So I drank water from the hose on the side of the building. Yeah, I did. Tastes delicious.
I understand drinking out of the hose from your own house, but not from a restaurant.
That's nasty, man.
And in Mississippi, I might
add. What about if people were out there peeing?
Oh, that's good for them.
How do you know if nobody like urinated on that hose? You don't. At your house, at least, you might know.
I feel like it's probably more likely at my house.
Then you would know, though, at least. And you wouldn't drink the hose water, I'm guessing. But you don't know all the traffic that's been through that restaurant. Animal feces.
Human, well, you know what? Here I am. Feces. Here I am. I'm fine.
And you want to call me a psychopath?
I was thirsty.
Pot, meat, kettle.
I'm just not soft.
Pot, meat, kettle.
Not soft.
Oh, you're a badass. You drink hose from restaurants.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Chance.
Sounds like a badass move. Some people might say it's a dumb move.
Good thing my mom is driving today and not listening to this.
Cause
she'd be pretty upset with me.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
She heard this. I'm sure I would have gotten a text. Just stop talking. You sound like an idiot.
Water from the restaurant.
Hey, before we get out of this segment, though.
Oh my God.
I have something else I want to talk about that I've just been thinking about.
What's that?
Equestrian.
Well, have the floor of your equestrian talk. Go for it.
So it was on.
I will add nothing.
It was on yesterday for a very long time.
All right.
Like a very long time, and. Me and my friends were talking about this. Why in the Kentucky Derby to the horses, you know, they're the ones that get all the credit. We don't talk about the jockey. We talk about the horse, you know, Secretariat, Country House, horse, insert name here. It's all about them. But then when we get to the Olympics and they do equestrian and the horses have to do all this fancy dancing stuff and prancing stuff and waltzing and whatever else, it's the rider that gets all the credit. We don't even know the horses' names. It doesn't seem fair to me. I think that there needs to be more on the horse. I think the horse should get a medal. I think we should know the horses' names. I think, I don't know. I mean, I think we should.
Why should we know the horse's name?
The horse is the athlete that's competing. The equestrian people are just, they're like, you know, just on their back. They're riding these horses to gold medal. It's the horse that earned the gold medal.
So the horse could do all these tricks without the jockey on it? Because a horse could win the Kentucky Derby without a jockey. I don't know if they could win an equestrian gold. I doubt it.
I think they could at least kind of do some of them, but could an equestrian do those tricks without a horse?
Could you play golf without clubs? Should we give medals to the clubs? Can you play baseball without a bat?
Well, that's not the same thing. A horse isn't equipment.
It is equipment.
It kind of is.
No, it's not. Also, I think the horse should have to be from the country that the rider is from. I think that we needed to enforce nationality requirements for the horses as well as the riders. But yeah, the horses need to get their recognition. They need glorification. They need representation.
Well, this is your closing arguments in a murder case?
Just might be.
Fit.
I don't know. I mean,
you've really been thinking about this, haven't you?
I was bouncing last night.
I saw his retweets
last night.
I knew this was coming.
For a while, I was just staring at a TV, watching equestrian. And I was just thinking about this. And then I texted some of my friends, and then they started tweeting about it. Got into a whole thing. I mean, we got into like a lengthy conversation about this last night. But these horses deserve the glory. They deserve representation. They deserve medals. And I think it's a real shame that
you PETA?
That we're not getting it. No, because PETA like kills animals and are bad people. I don't believe in PETA. Horses, medals, let's do it. From the same country. Actually, funny enough too. WBIR tweeted out a story like as I got here and checked Twitter this morning about how Olympic equestrian riders actually take their own horses to Tokyo, and here's how it works. So there's that too. But
are you gonna tell us how it works?
I didn't read it. Yeah. Do you want me to tell you how it works?
I mean, you're like, well, here's how it works. I thought there was going to be more.
Time out. Jessica Springsteen is one of dozens of equestrian riders competing overseas in the Tokyo Olympics. Bruce Springsteen's daughter is one of them. Did you guys know this?
Does it say that she's specifically Bruce Springsteen's daughter?
Yes. Jessica Springsteen, daughter of the boss, Bruce Springsteen, is one of dozens of Olympic equestrian riders. That's just, that's an entire other story in itself. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I think I'm right about these horses. I think you two are wrong. I would love to hear anyone else's opinions on these on this. I think we need to
I would love it if we need never to talked about equestrian.
I think we need to revolutionize. I think we really need to revolutionize equestrian.
All right.
I have nothing else to add, by the way. Like,
I don't think there's any more to add about it.
But
equestrian.
I spent a lot of time thinking about it.
Very passionate about equestrian. Who knew? 865-546-8200. 546-8200 is our number if you want to chime in with us. Lord help us. Lord help us. Lord help us. Lord, that you don't want to talk equestrian because that was pretty unbearable. We'll talk sports, though.
I hope on the someone other side. Calls in to talk equestrian.
Real sports. So stay with us. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio. Let's go. Welcome back to the Blitz. Rolling along here. Fan Run Radio. Chance, Charlie, and GP3 with you. Riveting equestrian talk on the other side. If you missed that, you can recap it in the Hour 1 podcast after it's uploaded after we hit the top of the hour. You say you got some people coming to your defense?
Yeah, I do. Someone said, I had a teacher used to tell me you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it wear a bikini. I don't know what that means, but
I don't either.
I'm going to decide that that's in my defense. Also, Sawyer Smith, 1,000% agrees. So,
well, shout out to Sawyer. Speaking of the sports, what's the biggest headline we got? Olympics, anybody still watching that? I know we're losing in the medal count. We're behind Republic of China and Japan.
I was watching some water polo yesterday.
Water polo much better than equestrian.
The only thing I saw was equestrian.
Well, I was watching the water polo, and then it went to commercial, came back, and then it jumped ahead like a quarter and a half, and I was like, oh, this isn't even live, so I quit watching it.
Yeah, we can't figure out what's live, when the time is. Like, this is horrible.
There was some live stuff at like midnight last night.
This is horrible.
On NBC, like the primetime, whatever, there was like live swimming and live relays, because I watched that. We almost came all the way back in a relay, and we broke the world record, but so did the person that won by more. So, it's a tough blow.
When's track and field start? Is that tonight?
I don't know.
No, I heard Nate and Davey and Houston talking about it. I think it starts tonight.
Golf started
yesterday.
Thursday.
In Tokyo.
But
which
their
been
Thursday.
Yeah.
So, like, a hybrid between yesterday
and I saw Patrick
and this morning.
Colin Morikawa.
But
I saw
the standings are weird.
I saw on Twitter that NBC's losing advertisers.
That's horrible.
Advertisers are pulling out because the viewership is so bad.
It's the worst that it's like been in like 20 years or something.
Yeah. I mean,
this is squarely on the shoulders of NBC.
They did a horrible job.
And their production quality.
I agree.
They haven't set up any storylines.
Nope.
They fail to make a logical schedule of events, of airing of events.
It's been horrible, seriously. I'm normally not that critical of
it's been of the production's been bad, but the Olympics themselves have actually been good if you can just find them and watch them properly.
Yeah.
Like I've been watching them as much as I can just on like USA or NBC Sports Network or
they should have just did them last year.
I don't know.
I guess big story, NBA draft tonight.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that is tonight.
That's tonight.
Got to look at some mock drafts.
Well, we got to preview some mock drafts as we push along. I know that Keon's been falling in the draft in a lot of the mocks, but Jaden Springer's been rising.
Yeah, I've seen a few mocks where Jaden's been going before Keon, which is kind of shocking to me.
It is definitely because if you see, you know, NBA is off of potential for years to come, and Keon Johnson's very athletic. He has the frame and the wingspan, all the framework of a NBA athlete, and you would think potentially he could go to a good team. They could really turn him into something special. He's a very dynamic guy. He guards the ball very well. Freaky athletic. We saw that in the combine, and we saw that watching him play here at Tennessee. But yeah, it's kind of weird that he's dropping. It has been since 1977. That you had two Vols who were picked in the first round of the NBA draft. That was Bernard King when he went 7th overall to the New York Nets, and Ernie Grunfeld, the Bert and Ernie show, and when he went 11th to the Milwaukee Bucks. So, Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson looking to make history for Vols.
You want a mock draft?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into it.
I got the most recent mock draft from The Athletic. This is right. 2 hours ago from Zach Harper. It has their pick, and then the most likely alternative pick. So, obviously, number one, Cade Cunningham.
Yep. Easy money.
There's really not anything else that can happen there unless the Pistons decide to trade it for quite the haul, but Cade Cunningham is stud. And then at two, the Rockets, Jalen Green from the G League. A lot of people think that he's, you know, the best prospect out there after Cunningham. You have Evan Mobley from the Cleveland Cavaliers being taken by the Cleveland Cavaliers third. Fourth, Jalen Suggs.
He's dropped a little
bit. To the Raptors. And rounding out the top five, your guy, Scotty Barnes, Florida State, going to the Magic. Anything stand out to you about those first five?
The Magic love Florida State guards.
Maybe a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I mean, I would have Jonathan Kuminga. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would have him in the top five. Like, if I were one of the teams drafting the top five, I would have picked him. But he's at six going to the Thunder, which him and SGA would be fun. He's my favorite prospect in this draft.
Really?
More than Cade Cunningham, more than Jalen Green, more than Jalen Suggs. I absolutely love this guy. I think he is a certified stud. At seven, though, this is where things have gotten a little weird, where you started to have players rise and players fall. I mean, at times, you know, this is the kind of place we were seeing Keon Johnson mocked. And now we have James Bouknight here, the guard from Connecticut, probably the hottest name in this draft. At one point in time, you know, he really wasn't sniffing the lottery, and now here he is at seven. I mean, he's just seen his stock go crazy. The Magic picking again at eight, another guy that's risen a bunch. This is where in the previous mock draft for Zach Harper, he had Keon Johnson being taken. Now it's a different SEC player, Moses Moody.
Moses Moody from Arkansas.
Yes, a certified stud. At number nine, they have the Kings taking Alperen Şengün.
Who that is?
He's a center from Turkey.
Okay.
It's the first I know of him as well. I don't know. Do you think that – how do you feel about drafting these international players? Do you feel
– That's a new trend.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel better about it after you've seen Luka's success maybe?
Yeah, but I don't think that Luka's – you know, he's a generational type player. Everybody that you draft, you might hope that you can get the next Luka, but that's going to be tough. Like, they don't come around a lot.
I mean, yeah, I guess we haven't really seen, like, a ton of international player success in these drafts.
Jokic, Luka, that have turned around to be great players.
Well,
MVP-level players.
Here's another international player at number 10 to the Grizzlies, Josh Giddey.
Where's he from?
Australia.
Okay.
And he's another name that has just been heating up as of late. He is 6'8", guard, you know, forward kind of hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the kind of guy that...
Long wingspan.
Yeah, one of them long dudes. Just 18 years old.
Everybody's going for the big guys that can, you know, shoot the three, pull you outside, stretch the floor now. That's the name of the game.
So that's your top 10. Moving on, finishing out, I guess, the rest
Keon
of the lottery.
Keon out of the top 10, according to Zach Harper.
Yeah, checking
He's
the
me right
the less the rest of the lottery though. The Charlotte Hornets, Franz Wagner
from Michigan.
Yeah, from Michigan, the forward. He can really play inside and out, hit that three, kind of like a 3-and-D big hybrid. A guy I really like a lot in this draft. At 12, the San Antonio Spurs are projected to take Kai Jones, the center from Texas.
That's interesting. I saw where Keon was projected to go to San Antonio Spurs and some other mocks, too.
Here's an older player being taken, the Pacers, and Davion Mitchell, the guard from Baylor. He's going to fall a little bit just because you can get, you know, some of these younger players.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think he would end up being a great pick for whoever takes him. At 14, a name that has been really hot lately as well. Reportedly, the Knicks really need him, or really want him. Chris Duarte, the guard from Oregon.
Yeah, I've heard his name a bunch.
And then at 15, finishing up, I guess, the lottery, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Wizards, and Trey Murphy, the guard from Virginia. So, no Keon so far. No Jaden Springer. You know, also we haven't seen Corey Kispert, who some people are projecting pretty highly. You know, Zaire Williams. We haven't seen him. Or Ayo Dosunmu. But anything stand out to you about that top 10 or top 15?
I mean, it's the fact there's no Keon in that mock draft. I think that he's definitely a top 15 pick. I think he's a top 10 pick.
I do too. I mean, I look at some of these players.
His only lacking deficiency was his ability to shoot from the outside. He only shot 27.
He got a little loose with the ball too.
Yeah, he's turnover prone there at the end a little bit.
But
where do they have Keon and Jaden mocked right here in your draft you're looking at?
All right, so Keon, they have him at 17 to the Pelicans.
Well, may not be bad. Willie Green, new head coach there.
Yeah.
A lot of praise for him.
Zach Harper writes, at this point, Keon Johnson can't fall anymore. He's been projected as high as 7 or 8 to the Warriors and Magic. But all of that momentum seemed to cool off with guys like Modus Moody, James Bouknight, and Franz Wagner all feeling like hot names on the big boards all around the league. But if you're the Pelicans keeping this pick at 17, how do you pass up on the athleticism of Johnson here? His shooting doesn't feel like a guarantee, and he's going to be pretty raw offensively without it. Athletically, he doesn't even make sense, though. He's the craziest leaper for any of the wings by a wide margin. He's so good defensively with that athleticism, and that should translate to the NBA level immediately. Get him out in transition with Zion Williamson, and you may have the best show in the league. The Pelicans would just need to figure out how to make that offensive attack in a half court a lot more well-rounded.
I agree.
That would be a lot of fun, thinking about Keon and Zion on the fast break together.
Oh, yeah. Whew. A lot of oops. And where's Jaden?
And then Jaden, you got to go a little bit further. Oh, a little bit further. A lot more further. I'm still not seeing him. I'm at 24. At 25. Here we go. At 26 to the Denver Nuggets. Jaden Springer makes a ton of sense here, says Zach Harper. As much as Denver likely needs a more lead guard out there until Jamal Murray is back, Springer fits as the best guard available from an all-around standpoint. He can shoot the ball, and he's going to defend. The Nuggets need defensive presences in the backcourt. He won't be what Gary Harris Jr. was for them, but he can be close. I love the idea of him contributing right away for a good playoff team. That is the one thing when you see these guys start to fall, when they get to go to these better teams. It's pretty fun as fans to be able to watch that when they can, you know, carve out some sort of role.
Yeah. When you get to go to a pretty prominent team versus a team that's on the rebuild that you're not going to see a lot of, like, nationally televised games. So that'll be cool. We'll continue to monitor that. We'll watch that tonight.
Let's see if Eve made it or not.
He's a second round guy, if anything.
Yeah, I'm checking through the second round now. So far, not seeing anything. Come on, someone take our boy, please. Luka Garza, not till 57. No Eve Pons in the second round, but I'll give either of you $20 right now if you can tell me who the projected final pick in the draft is at 60 to the Indiana Pacers. Just for fun. Played in the Big Ten.
In the Big Ten.
A team that was co-Big Ten champions, not last season, but the season before.
So play for Ohio State.
That's all the hints you're getting, buddy.
I won't even be able to think of the name. No idea.
Aaron Wiggins.
Who does he play for?
He played for Maryland.
Maryland, okay. For the Terps.
Fighting Terrapins, baby.
Hey, draft kicks off.
It is Turtle Bites.
I think at 9 o'clock tonight. So
9?
Or 8. 8.
Wow.
I think you might be right. I think it's 8.
I don't know for sure.
I think it's 8 o'clock tonight. You'll be able to catch that. And that'll be on ESPN. Keep it locked and see where those Vols go. Maybe you get 2 Vols in the first round. At least we know 2 guys will be drafted from the Big Orange tonight, whether they're both in the first round, lottery picks, or one in the first, one in the second. It's going to happen.
Maybe we sneak a 3rd.
Hey, and what's going to happen on the other side? We'll talk a little NFL. Crazy stories coming from the Shield. Keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz. Thank you for keeping it locked here, rolling right along. This hot Thursday morning. Hottest day of the year, they say. Say today is the hottest day of the year.
July 29th.
Perfect day for the AC to start working.
Yeah, I know, right? I thought I saw somebody, and I don't know if it's true, I saw one of my friends tweet out that it was supposed to be the hottest day in Tennessee in like 10 years today. So I don't know about that. Anybody?
High of 97 before the feels like or whatever, I guess, the heat index.
Mm-hmm. And then,
I don't know. We had a couple of days in Nashville where it got up to like 103.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and then, well, if you know, listen to the people, it's not the heat that gets you. It's the humidity.
So, that's the truth.
I mean, when I was in high school, I mean, that was within like the last, that was within the last 10 years. And we had like a couple of days of football practice where it got up to like 106. Yeah. So,
Say hottest day of the year though. That is, and it is hot out there. We are fortunate that we come in, you know, before noon. So we're not getting the brunt of it like the afternoon guys will, but it's going to be a hot one. Hey,
I'm moving today, Chance. I'm going to melt.
Man, you are. You are.
I feel like my that. Just melt right off my body, yeah. My bones.
He says melt.
Yeah,
melt.
Instead of melt.
I wasn't even going to acknowledge it.
I can't do it.
He can't say it.
I did finally figure out how to say Jameis, but melt is, we haven't gotten there
what
yet.
What about milk? I think I've asked.
Milk.
Milk.
See? He can say milk. He can't say
I
melt.
Drink a lot of it. I hope I know how to say it.
You know who needs to drink a lot of milk? J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's hurt again. Cardinals place him on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list, with a soreness in the hamstring. J.J. Watt, can he ever make it through an entire season without just like not being hurt at some point?
I feel like people really freaked out about him this offseason. Like, oh my God, it's J.J. Watt. Who's gonna get J.J. Watt?
Who wants him? He can't even play.
I was like, guys, he's aging. Like, yeah, he's a great player to have in your locker room. And you know, when he's on the field, he's solid.
32.
He's above average, obviously. He's still a pretty great player, but he's not super available. You know, he's really, I guess, not a three-down guy all the time anymore. And not really worth his, you know, his asking price. But
I don't, it's been a long time since he's made it through an entire season and not gotten hurt.
For all the talk about the Cardinals and, wow, their pass rush is going to be crazy this year. Chandler Jones has already requested a trade, and J.J. Watt's hurt. Bunch of bums. They're about to get that smoke from the Titans week one. Free smoke.
It'll be just like when everybody was hyping up the Browns 2 years ago, and then Titans came in there and smacked them around.
We're the best week one team in the history of the NFL. Even when we're going the four-win seasons, week one is going to be beautiful.
All right, so J.J. Watt, this comes from DraftSharks.com. Chance of injury percentage in 2021, 71%.
Whoa.
Chance of injury per game, 7%. Projected games missed in 2021, 3. He has a durability of 4. Wow, his injury history. Here's his injury history. 2012.
Do we have time? We only have 15 minutes
left. I'll go fast. 2012, arm elbow dislocation. 2016, back vertebral disc hernia. Played just 3 games before needing another surgery and landing on IR that year. December 9th of 2015, hand metacarpal fracture. Broke his left hand. November 29th, 2015, abdomen muscle tear, grade 3. September 22nd, 2016, back vertebra disc hernia again. September 10th, 2017, hand finger dislocation. September 14th, 2017. Same thing, 4 days later. October 8th of 2017, he had a leg tibial plateau fracture. Missed the final 11 games.
Are you meaning to say vertebrae, or is it something else?
It says vertebral.
Vertebral? No, that's what I was asking.
Right? Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Vertebral?
That's what it says.
What is
not vertebrae? Not vertebrae with the E, but vertebral. And then on January 14th, 2019, knee strain grade 1. And then October
20th. Well, at least it was just grade 1.
October 27th, 2019, chest pectoral grade 3 tear. Oh. Missed the last 8 games.
Oh, not grade 3.
Yeah, so like you that is an excellent point. Though people being all hype whenever he was on the market. If he comes to your team,
Titans fans were like, we can finally get him to join our side. We need a pass rush. I was like, yeah, we need a pass rush, not a motivational speaker on crutches.
You need a prayer if he makes it through an entire season.
Half a season at that.
I have a theory, by the way. Maybe it's just as a biased Titans fan, angry Titans fan. But I think that J.J. Watt could potentially be the worst human being in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. He's Captain America, J.J. Watt.
He is way too overly nice, overly this perfect guy publicly.
Yeah.
then I think he's got to be hiding something deep and terrible.
I mean, he raised all that deep, money dark. For Houston, didn't he?
Oh, he's done nothing but amazing things every day of his life since he's been in the NFL. Wonderful philanthropist, great in the community, loved by all of his teammates, kind and thoughtful and wise when he speaks to the media.
I'd much rather have Greg Hardy on my team.
865-546-8200. Come back on the other side. Just wrap up hour number one.
I don't know about that one, GP3.
Welcome back to the Blitz. Wrapping up hour number one here, talking a little NFL. We're talking about J.J. Watt and how he is always hurt previously. But now, weird story out of New York between Kelvin Benjamin and Joe Judge. Kelvin Benjamin was cut by the Giants, I believe, yesterday. He was especially critical of Joe Judge on the way out. He said everything that Judge was doing was kind of to sabotage the situation.
So here's the story. Kelvin Benjamin, it's a new experiment for him to play tight end with the New York Football Giants.
Uh-huh.
He showed up to training camp, did not make it past lunch on his first day.
By the way, looked like he ate some Kelvin Benjamins now. He's 265.
Yeah, so there was a story that came out yesterday that was all about him stealing food, and it was from a fake account.
That one was not true.
And apparently People ran with it like it was true, but he did actually speak to Zach Rosenblatt of the NewJerseyan.com, and he basically said that he weighed 265 pounds at the end of minicamp in June and was told by the Giants staff they needed to get down to 251 pounds for training camp. Instead, he showed up weighing 268 after putting on some, quote, muscle, Benjamin said. But Benjamin passed the Giants conditioning test Tuesday, which is 20 50-yard dashes in under 7 seconds. He said he completed those tests, didn't hear anything about the Giants being unhappy with his weight. So on Wednesday, he ran out for practice, and that's when Judge pulled him aside. They talked for a little bit and waited for Gettleman to come over. Judge was like, hey, we're going to fine you for being 17 pounds overweight. This comes from Kelvin Benjamin. I was like, how are you going to do that? I said, so you want me to be a smaller tight end than when I played wide receiver? He had nothing to say. He quieted down. He didn't even talk to me Tuesday. The day before practice, he didn't bring all of this up. I just felt like the dude didn't like me. Mr. Gettleman knew exactly what went down. Everybody in that building was telling me I looked great. I was feeling good. It's crazy how they're just twisting this narrative about everything like it's a joke. They make it seem like we don't even matter. That's the thing about humanity, man. I was like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, I'm trying everything I can to be here. You won't even let me on the field to show you what I can do at 268 pounds. I played receiver at 268 and almost had 1,000 yards. So why do you want me to be a 250-pound tight end?
Yeah, he says, biggest gripe, he didn't like the way Judge handled it, calling him out in front of everybody instead of behind closed doors.
They soured his feelings towards the NFL.
Joe Judge ain't going to make it, is he?
Claims he didn't drop any passes in minicamp. Personally, I like Joe Judge. I think he did a good job.
You think he did?
I think he did a decent job. I mean, he inherited a quarterback, and it's kind of iffy on whether, you know, the quarterback is going to be all right or not. But Kelvin Benjamin at least thinks so. Kelvin Benjamin also added that he loves Daniel Jones and thinks he's going to be great. So it's probably the kiss of death, actually, for Daniel Jones. But
maybe so.
I kind of agree with Kelvin Benjamin here, though. I mean, part of it.
I think I'm on Benjamin's side.
And not just because he went to Florida State for me, but like, don't you want him to be pretty bulky as a tight end? And
I agree that, okay, so.
You can definitely put on muscle, you know, lifting weights hard. And
you know, so I do agree that, like, with the Giants, to an extent of like, hey, if you told him at the end of minicamp to come in at this weight and he's 17 pounds over it, yeah, maybe you want to cut him. But
I'd probably wait till we got to the preseason and see what he can do.
Yeah, but what I don't agree with is, why do you want him at that weight to play tight end? Like, why not just let him be a bulky tight end?
Why didn't Kelvin Benjamin question this when he was told to get down to 250? Is like,
that yeah, like why wasn't the conversation happening then? Too. I don't know. I mean, like both Kelvin parties. Benjamin's also kind of a ridiculous guy, but
Seems like both parties really botched it.
He was the recipient of the best Monday Night Football quote of all time when Booger McFarland said that he was, quote, a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end. Well, apparently he was also five Popeye's biscuits away from being a cut tight end.
Also very true. So, Kelvin Benjamin out. We'll see if another team picks him up, tries to give him another stab at the tight end position since it didn't work out with the Giants. 865-546-8200. That's our number if you want to get on with us in hour number two. Hour number two, we'll get up to our NFL previews. Yesterday we did the AFC East. Today will be the AFC North, I believe, Charlie.
Bengals, Ravens, okay. Steelers, and Browns.
We'll answer the questions about the AFC North, give you some predictions, talk a little bit more NFL, and hit you with all the stories. Just keep it locked here on Fan Run Radio.